I'm going to talk about our pre-breeding efforts in Rosebreed. This was addressing objective one, which was to incorporate durable disease resistance into breeding parents, and particularly pyramiding and combining multiple alleles by marker-assisted breeding. I want to stress here that we weren't in this project attempting to develop new cultivars, but rather develop breeding materials that conventional breeders could use, whereby they could get many of the disease-resistant alleles necessary in a single cross. I'll start out talking about the accelerated breeding system we used in Apple, then talk about our disease targets and our approach, and finally about the results and the release of material. Accelerated breeding in Apple. There's two important components to accelerated breeding in Apple. The first is the use of transgenic apples that are transformed with a fruitful homologue that comes from silver birch, the BP-MADS4 gene, which when we express it in Apple will reduce the juvenile stage from 2 to 5 years to about 3 to 8 months. This greatly accelerated and allowed us to make many crosses. I want to acknowledge my friend and collaborator at the JKI, Julius Kuhn Institute in Dresden, Germany, Henrik Flakowski, who developed the technology and generously shared it with me. The second component to the accelerated system is the use of marker-assisted breeding. Because of the rapid breeding cycle of these plants, we don't have a lot of time to phenotype, and we had to rely very heavily on both marker-assisted seedling selection and then select the final parents through marker-assisted parent selection. Marker-assisted parent selection basically involves a panel of about 8 to 10 DNA tests that were developed in Rosebreed 1 for various fruit quality traits. In marker-assisted seedling selection, we basically selected a seedling based upon a specific genotype. In marker-assisted parent selection, we looked at the genotypes and then selected the best individuals. So this cartoon represents the strategy we used in the project. The trees with the fruit on them are early flowering, reduced juvenility. The green ones are standard conventional trees. The transgene acts as a dominant heterozygous allele. So 50% of the population in a cross with a transgenic early flowering plant will be early flowering, and half of the population will be conventional. In this cartoon, we crossed a line we used a lot, T1190, carrying the early flowering gene, with a scab-resistant cultivar having the RVI6 or VF gene. Half of the population is early flowering. We then selected by marker-assisted selection for both that and the scab-resistance gene. We then used marker-assisted parent selection and selected out the best one or two individuals for the next cross to another disease-resistant cultivar. And we kept repeating that cycle until we had accumulated the alleles we wanted. At that point, we switch our attention to the plants without the transgene, which are conventional and normal plants that still contain the disease-resistance genes of interest. I now want to talk about our targets and our approach. Our targets in Apple were Apple Scab and Fireblight. For Apple Scab, we started out with the disease-resistant cultivar Enterprise, which is carrying the RVI6 gene for scab immunity, also known as VF on linkage group 1. If you look at Fireblight, Enterprise also carries the FBF7 locus on linkage group 7. That was described many years ago for Fiesta. It's a QTL, which gives partial resistance. We also used Honeycrisp, which is carrying the RVIHC QTL or allele on linkage group 1. That gives partial resistance to scab. But it's also, under horticultural traits, a very important parent for apple breeders because of its crispness. And we were also selecting for the malic acid indel on linkage group 16, which also controls not only acidity, but firmness and crispness and several other characteristics. For fire blight, we also used Splendor, where in the Roseberry project, we identified a QTL for partial resistance to fire blight on linkage group 5. And we used for the early flowering donor, T1190, which is a seedling between Eider Red and Pinova. So here you see our pedigree for the crosses we did. In this example, we started out crossing Enterprise with the T1190 carrying the early flowering gene. We selected an individual that had both the scab resistance, RVI6, and the fire blight allele, as well as the early flowering allele. We then ran them through marker-assisted parent selection to select out the individuals with the best other fruit quality alleles. We then crossed that with Honeycrisp, and we combined the RVI6 with the scab resistance from Honeycrisp. We maintained the fire blight resistance allele from Enterprise and introduced the 400 allele at the malic acid indel, which is the important allele from Honeycrisp for crispness. In the future, we will be crossing that to Splendor to bring in another allele for fire blight resistance. We also did other crosses where in the second generation, rather than crossing to Honeycrisp, we crossed to Splendor. And in the future, we'll be crossing those progeny with Honeycrisp. So now I want to talk about our results and the release of the material. This table summarizes some of the genotypes for some of the important alleles we were selecting. In some of the material, we've targeted for release. So this no longer contains the transgene that allows it to be reduced juvenility. In the 42 and the 43 crosses, we have the scab resistance gene, RVI6, the VF gene, combined with the RVIHC gene, and that's also carrying the fire blight QTL originally described in Fiesta, which is in coming from Enterprise here. We don't yet have the QTL on linkage group 5 for fire blight in those individuals. However, those individuals are carrying the 400 allele for the malic acid indel. One of the drawbacks of the 400 allele is that it also carries susceptibility to bitter pit. The 456 allele, which it is combined with in those individuals, is a very good partner for that, because the 456 allele is dominant resistance to bitter pit. One of the most important loci for all of the apple breeders, and I tried to work closely with all the apple breeders, they always kept telling me the importance of the PG, the polygalacturonase loci for storage and fruit firmness. And amongst all of the alleles we have, the 292 allele is the one that the breeders seem to want the most. So I have selected strongly for that so that all individuals will be 292, and they will get their favorite allele when they cross with this material. The 44 individuals are those where we crossed to Splendor first, and there we don't have the second allele for the scab resistance. However, we have both alleles for the fire blight resistance. Those individuals do not yet have the 400 allele, but they will be crossed with Honeycrisp in the future. However, they are carrying the 456 allele and are 292 for PG. We're making sure that these individuals don't have the transgene by both phenotypic tests, then doing PCR tests for both the tDNA, and we also have PCR tests where we have markers at the insertion site so we can get positive results for conventional individuals and negative results for transgenics. And we're also doing 100X sequencing to make sure they don't have the binary vector, they don't have any major genomic rearrangements, and they don't have DNA from the vectors. APHIS has looked at this material in PLUM, where Drs. Scorza and Callahan have developed a similar system, and they have indicated they will not consider this material transgenic. The material, we want it to be used, both the conventional material and the early flowering material is available. The material is currently owned by ARS, and I have retired. However, Chris Dardick will be taking this over, and you can talk to Chris. You can also contact me, and I'll be happy to share information with you. Long term, we hope to get the conventional material into the National Plant Germplasm System in Geneva, and we will have pollen of the transgenic material in deep freeze out at Fort Collins, and Gail Volk will be heading that up. Thank you for your attention. Yes.
Was the transgenic component, was that in the rootstock or was that a scion?
That was in the scion, in the seedlings themselves. So the question was whether the transgene was in the rootstock or whether it was in the scion. We were working with seedlings. So basically it was in both the rootstock and the scion. If there's no other questions, I put this slide up, which talks about our work in using this system for introgressing blue mold resistance from a wild species. And when we're working with a wild species, you have to take a different approach. You can select for the QTL you're trying to introgress, but rather than using marker-assisted parent selection, we found that using genome scans and using genomic selection was a far more efficient means for efficient incorporation. Other questions? Thank you for your attention then.